apostasy in Galatia. Unfortunately, time dulls impression. And the Galatians, who were so impressed by Paul, to the extent that they were ready to sacrifice for him, to pluck their eyes out and say, "I will give you my eyes if I could," were now stepping aside, were taking a stand away from, which is what apostasy means. What had been previously accepted is now repudiated, and a new stand was taken. They should have been saved. They were given grace to meet the present wicked world. They were delivered from the power of Satan. But now they are removing themselves from it. They are going away from it. And they are going away from it because of overzealous missionaries from Jerusalem who were carrying with them their previous religious and cultural prejudices, and insisting that the new converts needed to become Jews before they became Christians. And again, calling upon the Galatians to accept circumcision, arguing, circumcision has been around for nearly 2,000 years. Who do you think you are? Who does Paul think he is to repudiate circumcision? I worked for some 5 years in the city of Edinburgh. And I remember the first time it happened to me, and it happened to me quite a few times, a very pious Scots woman said to me, "You think John Knox was a servant of God?" Only one answer, yes. "You think he proclaimed the truth?" "Yes, he did." "Did John Knox keep Saturday as a Sabbath?" "No." "Well, what's good enough for John Knox is good enough for me." And then, as a Seventh-day Adventist denomination, I had to say to myself, "Now what do you do?" And you had to begin to reason from another point of view. Abraham a servant of God? Yes. Abraham practiced circumcision? Yes. What was good enough for Abraham is good enough for me. Who do you think you are? And so the Jews were then beginning to apply the argument that circumcision was a method of salvation. You had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And they were adding a yoke of other Judaizing regulations. Part number two, the messenger. The first step away from the stand of Christianity in Galatia was an attack against the messenger who had brought them the gospel. Paul was the evangelist who introduced them to Jesus Christ. Now they began to find fault with Paul. Very many times when people are losing the faith, they're losing grip on Adventism, the truth of Christianity, the message for this time that comes through the Advent movement, they turn against the promulgators of that truth. It becomes a personal vendetta. Instead of looking objectively at the message, they began to criticize the brethren, they began to find fault with the conference, they despise evangelists, they ridicule the pastor, and so they slowly move away. And this is exactly what happened in Galatia. Instead of dealing with the issues, they dealt with personality. Part number two. From that step, they moved to the next. They relapsed into apostasy. They accepted another message. First of all, they accepted another messenger. Then they accepted another message. And Paul could say, "I marvel that you are soon removed, gone over from one side to another," as the force of his word, changed by putting one thing in place of another. "I marvel that you soon substitute the message that you received at the time of your conversion into another message, that you have soon gone from one side, when you were called to Jesus Christ, to another gospel, Another kind of gospel is the force of his word. They were looking to another program. He complained that they had been bewitched. And this word, bewitched, is being carried away by tittle-tattle maliciously presented, to slander insidiously, to flatter, to entice, to place a spell upon. And as we think of the use of this picture word that Paul used, translated in the King James Version as bewitched, we think of insidious worshippers coming in on Sabbath into the Galatian church or churches and beginning to whisper and tittle-tattle, question the seriousness or the education or the understanding of Paul, presenting other ideas, alien thoughts, surreptitiously flattering the intelligence, the independence of the Galatian believers, casting a spell upon them, bewitching them. And during my ministry in the last 40 years, I have seen this happen. I remember in the Lincoln Downtown Church, years ago, the shepherd's rod that came in insidiously with a bewitching message carried them away. In the late 50s and the early 60s, I encountered another importation into Adventism that had a bewitching effect. Thousands would argue. Thousands would suddenly not be able to see what they had seen clearly all their lives. They were looking at something else. They were following another gospel. And all they had to do was to wait 10 or 20 years and see the whole thing repudiated. Now we see other sinister, bewitching, tittle-tattling, malicious presentations, fighting messengers, calling down, indicting the brethren, another gospel. Beware, he says, that you are soon removed from the thing that you were called to another. The Galatians would have nothing to fear for the future, only as they forgot how they came into Christianity in the past. And we Adventists have nothing to fear for the future either, save as we forget. How did we become Adventists? We remember the first time we looked down Daniel 2, and saw the wonder of that prophecy, as the light gleamed on the gold of Babylon and shimmered on the silver of Medo-Persia, shone on the grease of the brass of Greece, illuminated the iron of Rome, focused on the clay, the concrete age in which we live, pierced the darkness of the future, and shone on the face of Christ. What a clear picture of all the ages reaching to its consummation. Can we forget and go to another bewitching gospel, repudiate Adventism? This is exactly what Galatia was doing. And this is what Paul appealed to them. They relapsed, and as part 3 emphasizes, they wanted to be circumcised again. Part number 4, and to return to the law, that is, legalism as a method. And there are some who would have us go back 3 times a year. We've got to have our Passover. We've got to have our Pentecost. We've got to go into the woods for tabernacles. We've got to carry through many of these ceremonies. Legalism. Now, sometimes we can make Sabbath observance. We can even make health reform and tithing, foot washing, means by which we hope to earn salvation. This was the Galatian problem. Not that in its time there was anything wrong with any of these laws, but when Christ was forgotten, when salvation was no longer by grace and faith, through obedience and surrender, and carrying out regulations and requirements was the end for all Christian behavior, then there was a problem. And Paul could say, perfectly true as we can say now, if you want to keep the whole law, keep it. But there's only one group of people that can keep it. That's the unfallen. And once you have fallen, you can never keep the law. If you kept the law from now, a billion years, you could never take care of the time when you didn't keep the law. You're dead. You're lost. And so Jesus Christ takes care of the sins of the past, starts us off now, begins us anew, born again, and leads us by His grace and Spirit to live the life of faith. Part number 5. Paul becomes an enemy. The more he presented the truth in Christ, the more he threatened the Judaizers. And the Galatians who followed their misdirected zeal. And so he can exclaim in sadness, "Am I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So many times, even today, the man who will write, the man who will preach, the man who will personally testify to the truth suddenly becomes the enemy of those on the perimeter of Adventism, who for one reason or another are hostile against the denomination, against the truth, ready to lend their support and their cash to anyone who will denounce the cause and castigate the leadership, criticize the conference, rebuke those who are trying to proclaim what is right. Have they all suddenly become enemies because they tell the truth? How are we to discover this? How are we to learn what the truth is? Go to the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures and find out from them what is the truth. Jesus Christ is ready to beget us anew as a Father. Jesus Christ is ready to change His voice and appeal to us as a loving, tender mother. Jesus Christ knows where we have come from. He knows where we stand. He knows where He wants us to go. He is longing to turn us from the beggarly elements of this world, things that are weak and useless. He wants us to come to Him and to accept Him. And this is the kind of appeal that Paul made to the Galatian apostate. Part number 6, Focus of the Week. We've studied cause and effect. The cause of the apostasy, first of all, was the gradual lessening of the initial hold of the message that had first captivated the Galatians. Then the listening to bewitching voices, sang siren songs that appealed to alien elements in their constitution. To turn away from the gospel to another gospel that is wasn't a gospel. To listen to these tittle-tattling voices that came in that criticized Paul, that criticized the missionaries, and then that criticized their message, and brought in other messages that had no bearing any longer. With a defunct, moribund ritual system that had served its purpose and finished on Calvary. And when this came, the Galatians forgot the source of the change in their lives. They turned to other ideas. They listened to other voices. They accepted law as a method of salvation. They then considered Paul their enemy. He had not told them everything. And they accepted mean and weak and beggarly elements, ground-crawling, non-uplifting concepts, and thus were fully apostate. And once they became apostate, they denied the cross, they denied Christ, they fought the brethren, they disbelieved the origin of truth that came to them, their conversion, their past experience, they were going a new way. What a warning the apostasy in Galatia has to us.